Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Islamic State militants kidnapped more than 150 students last June. The militants released most of the students several months later. We will have the story of one of the recently released students later in the program. But first, Mario Ritter brings us a report on the new cabinet of Indonesian President Joko Widodo.
Since the beginning of his political career, Joko Widodo has worked hard to separate himself from Indonesia's political leadership. Observers say they saw this quality in him even when he served as mayor of a small town. In his first week as Indonesian president, Mr. Widodo has sought to build on this political identity. Corruption is a serious issue in the country. In an unusual move, the president asked the country's anti-corruption agency to investigate nominees to his cabinet. That process led to delays and resulted in the removal of 8 ministerial candidates. 34 ministers in Mr. Widodo's working cabinet were announced on Sunday. A few hours later, they were sworn in at ceremonies in the official home of the president. The ministers promised to follow the law and reject bribes, unlawful attempts to influence their judgment. The cabinet includes technical experts, business people, and a few others credited with being reformers. Keith Lovard is with Concord Consulting, a company that advises businesses. He describes the cabinet appointments as a wait-and-see cabinet. The cabinet has several business leaders who are unproven in government. They include Susi Pudjiastuti, who owns an airline company. Joko Widodo has promised to reform government agencies and target an economic growth rate of 7%. A number of observers have praised the nomination of Pratikno as state secretary. He has served as the rector or head of Gajah Mada University in Yogyakarta. The president chose the rector at Paramadina University, Anies Baswadan, as the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education. Retno Lestari Priyansari Marsudi has been named Foreign Minister. She is the first Indonesian woman to hold the position. A career diplomat, she formerly served as ambassador to the Netherlands, Iceland, and Norway. She is one of 8 women in the new administration. But observers have criticized the number of political appointments to the cabinet. They were especially unhappy with appointments of people close to former President Megawati Sukarnoputri. Siti Zuro is with the Indonesian Institute of Sciences. She says the cabinet appointments show that Mr. Widodo is not completely independent. Throughout his political campaign, Mr. Widodo has said he would not trade ministerial positions for political support. Yet a small number of leaders in his party have been given cabinet positions. They include the former president's daughter, Puan Marani, who will direct 4 coordinating ministries, and former General Riamzard Ryokudu as defense minister. Critics say he has a questionable human rights record. Of 34 ministers in the new cabinet, 21 are either connected to a party or linked to top party officials. I'm Mario Ritter.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Last June, Islamic State militants kidnapped more than 150 students from the city of Kobani in northern Syria. Many of those kidnapped were ethnic Kurds. The militants released most of the students several months later. One of those freed is a 16-year-old named Azad. He now lives in Turkey. Bob Doty has his story.
Azad said the militants seized him and the other students as they were returning home. He said the students had just finished taking their secondary school exams in the Syrian city of Aleppo. "We were scared," Azad said. "They had long beards. They told us, 'We will slaughter you, you infidels.' They asked us to pray and to make the ablutions. Some of us did not know how. They hit them and said, 'Why do you not know the ablutions?' Islamic State militants have executed thousands of people. The group has accused its victims of being infidels. In other words, for not following what the militants say is the true religion." Azan said, for 3 months, the group beat the teenagers and threatened to execute them. "They hit us and gave us religion lessons. They were taking medicine. Their eyes became red after that. They put bombs on themselves and said, 'We will go to heaven.' We cried and said, 'We want to go to our parents.' They hit us and said, 'Why are you crying for your parents? If you become Muslims and return to Kobani, you must kill your parents, because they are infidels,' remembered Azad." His mother, Baravan, said she and the other mothers appealed for their children's release. "It was very difficult, 3 months of tears and crying. We tried to see them, the Islamic State fighters. We went without the men, but they told us to leave. They said, 'If you don't go now, we will kill your children now.' We cried and cried," said Baravan. The militants released most of the children a few weeks ago. They sought to exchange the students for Islamic State fighters who had been captured. But Azad said he still has bad dreams about the experience. "Even after we move to Turkey, I am still afraid. I will always remember one of them. He came at 2 o'clock in the morning. He had a long beard. He told us, 'I will kill you all.' And then he left," he said. Azad passed his exams in Aleppo. He wants to be an engineer. He said he hopes to continue his education in Kobani someday. I'm Bob Doty.
We hope Azad is able to achieve his dream of becoming an engineer. That's all the time we have for today. Join us tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.